So true. Hello? Hello. All right. Let me bring the mic up closer. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We're going to start our Youth Day service soon. Please take your seats and let's get into it. Hi. Hello. We'll be starting in a minute. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Welcome to our youth service. I'll be your worship leader for today. If I make any mistakes, I'm open for feedback, okay? Please make sure to correct me if I say anything wrong. All right. So we're going to start off today's Sabbath service with three hymns. Love Lifted Me, Revive Us Again, and Onward Christian Soldiers. Can you please rise and sing with me? 127 for the first hymn, Love Lifted Me.
Thank you.
to page 187, Revive Us Again. Page 164, Onward Christian Soldiers. After this, we will have the opening prayer from Micah Stowe.
Jesus, we
but still.
Let us pray. Dear God, please bless this service that we will learn more about you and your word today on this Youth Day service. We pray that all the performances will be in your name and that everything, every word of praise will go straight to you. We pray that we'll all go back to our normal lives after the service is over, knowing more about you. We also pray that we go back, when we go back to our normal lives, we will be protected by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, hallelujah.
Hello? Hello? Thank you very much, Micah, for the opening prayer. Speaking of performances and the youth showing off their glory to God, we have a skit performed by the Sabbath School children.
It's so good to have you all out today. How's everyone doing? It's been a long time since we've been together like this. Speaking of a long time, Azaria, how old are you?
I'm 756 years old.
All right. Nyla, how old are you?
71.
How old you is?
I'm 1975.
Oh man, Micah, what age you just hit?
Yesterday I just hit the age of 15,986,206.
I'm the oldest of all of you. I just turned 106,575 million years old. Well, let's get to today's topic. So, Azaria, what does love mean to you?
The best meaning of love for me is found in Corinthians 1:13, verse 1 to 2. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a gong or a clanging cable. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, but didn't have love, I'd be nothing.
What about you, Nala?
What does love mean to you?
For me, the best meaning of love is minted in one core. 13 verses 2. If I gave everything I have to poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be have gained nothing.
What about you, Tora? What does love mean to you?
Well, the best meaning of love is written in Corinthians 1, 13, 6, and 8. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Amen.
Micah, what do you have to say about love?
Yeah. Arthritis. Well, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 to 10, it says, "Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when perfection comes, these partial things become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror." Arthritis. "But then we'll see things with a perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these things is love." Amen.
Yes, you have all said it very well. But just to summarize the kind of love that is mentioned here, agape love, which is the kind of love that our Father God Most High, the true one and living one, has for us. So we give him thanks for his love towards us and his people. Let's strive to continue to show this kind of love to each other and even each and every day. See you all next time.
Thank you.
Give it up to God. Can we get another round of applause for the Sabbath School children? What a special skit about love, and what a special day we have. But more about special things, we have two special messages for today. Can I ask Mr. Jody Smith to come up for our sermonette message of today?
Brethren, how are you? Since you're open to corrections, it's Jordy, not Jody, but you're forgiven, all is forgiven. Brethren, today I want to talk about grace. I don't want to give a definition of grace. I rather would like to give some biblical examples so we can better understand God's grace. I want to first start with the story of Abraham and Sarah. The Bible calls Abraham a friend of God. And oftentimes in the Bible we see Abraham referred to the father of the faithful. But in spite of those things, I want to just dig a little bit deep and talk about some things we know about Abraham. Abraham's fear in wanting to save himself led him to lying or blending the truth about his saying Sarah was his sister when they were in Egypt. Another thing, if you remember, Sarah laughing at God when they said she would be able to bear a child with her old age. This, I would say, would be an insult to the character, to him and the character of God. Furthermore, Sarah laughed, encouraged Abraham to cheat with another woman as well. Despite all these instances, all the human errors and failures of Abraham, God still remained faithful and worked his promise through Abraham. This is an example of grace. Grace is a gift from God. We can't earn it. In other words, it's unmerited. It's an unmerited pardon. Here is a verse I would like to bring some attention to. Genesis 12:3. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. I want to share another story that I'm sure we've all heard, the story of a tax collector. If those who aren't familiar with how tax collectors were back then in the biblical times, most of them regarded them as sinners. The reason why would be Jews worked for the Romans, and for that reason, they were considered traitors. People resenting paying taxes to the foreigners who ruled over them. Tax collectors were not paid an actual wage by the Romans. And because of this, they were expected to take extra money or ask extra money from those they were collecting in order to make their profits for themselves. Have anyone here ever done something they were so ashamed of? Something wrong that they would feel bad about after, so much that you can't even look at yourself in the mirror. Moreover, you can't even look up because you can't even look up because you have that feeling. So we look at the tax collector who committed his wrongs in the past. He perhaps knows that being a collector, he has those sins. Even if he changes, he has those sins in the past. And people will even hate him if they realize he was a tax collector, right? So what is he supposed to do? So he comes to God broken, right? What's next? Let's look at Luke 18:9. We'll look at 9 and then we'll look at 14. So the tax, Luke 18:9 says, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not be much as to raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So we look at something like this. All the atrocities the tax collector may have committed. How can it be excused? What does God say? What does Jesus say? Let's look further into verse 14. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Wow. The grace of God allowed the tax collector to go home justified. His sins were forgiven, and he stood before God blameless. He did not feel any guilt anymore about his past mistakes. He now had a sense of comfort and relief. Now he can come to a place where he's at peace with himself. All because of the grace of God. We look at David. David made some very terrible decisions. I mean, he lusted, he stole, he lied, he murdered. He committed adultery. If we didn't know David that well, we would think he would not be worthy of retaining his status of kingship. Personally, I believe, David never strayed away with his love for God. He just made a few terrible decisions. The important thing is that he turned away from his sin, and he repented, and he asked God to forgive. One of the attributes of God's character is his grace. Having committed some grievous sins, David cried out to God and appeals none else but what? God's grace. Psalms 51:1, I'm using the International Standard Version, says, "Have mercy, God, according to your gracious love, according to your unlimited compassion, erase my transgressions." I would like to reach out to the youth. Is there anybody here who would like to share a story, give an example of where they made a mistake and they received grace, whether it was from God or from somebody else? Does anybody want to share something that may inspire some of us here today? Nothing, no stories, nothing that happened in the past. Well, let's take a look at a few scriptures here that I'd like to share. We'll start with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they are. Yet not I, but by the grace of God, which was in me." And the second verse I would like to share is Titus 2:11-12. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." May you have a blessed Sabbath and a blessed week.
Thank you very much, Jordy Smith, for your sermonette on grace. I think it's a very important message to spread and really reflect on grace itself. Now we're going to be graced with a scripture reading from our brother Niall. He'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Niall? There he is.
Yes.
Okay.
1 to 6.
All right. Hi, everyone. Today's scripture reading will be taken from 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Whoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who will be God also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God, and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. That concludes today's scripture reading. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Niall. Now we have two contemporary songs for today. For our first song, we have You Are Good. And for our second song, You Are All. You Are My All in All. Can I get the contemporary team to come join me into these two lovely songs?
Brethren, may we please rise and let's give thanks and praise to the Most High.
From every nation and town, From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good.
Our God is so good. Let's sing praises. Our Lord, you are good. Say it.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever.
People from every nation.
People from every nation and town. From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes. So good, so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. You are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
Thank you.
Now we will have our intercessory prayer. For the sick, I will call upon Brother Godfrey London to share any new updates. After that, I will ask Deacon Tony Brathwaite to lead us in intercessory prayer.
Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Happy Sabbath. Let's remember each other in prayer. We need each other, and we need each other's prayers. So these are some specific names we can remember and pray for. Let's remember Sister Marie McLaughlin. She will be going through gallbladder surgery soon. I think it's September 15th. So let's remember her. Pray for a friend of Sister Samar. Her father had a stroke. Pray for his full recovery. Let's remember Jean-Michel Ballinger from the Ottawa area. He needs our prayers and encouragement. Remember a friend of Sister Avenel, Mary Green, stage 3 cancer. Let's also remember Miriam Poulet from the Ottawa area, diagnosed with a brain tumor. And she firmly believes God can heal her, and she's asking for our help. And let's remember those on our ongoing prayer list. Let's lift up Brother Patrick, Elder Bronson James, Elder George Ramakan, and let's remember our sister Marilyn Hilton is awaiting her miracle. So I pass it to you, Brother Tony.
Next.
We will now have a special item, a special musical item, led by the CGI Junior Choir in a performance called Love. After that, we will have Noel Skolborg for our second ceremony. His message is called The Tea. Wonderful job. Thank you guys for the song. Can we get another round of applause for the children? Now, we have our second sermon of the day. I would like to introduce Mr. Noel Skolberg to come on stage to give us his message on the team.
Thank you, my fellow teammate. You know what? When I grow up, I want to be a part of the youth team. They are young, energetic, they catch on fast, they all look beautiful, not wrinkly like me. So much advantage to being the youth, being on the youth team. So, we're all a team, and I'm going to ask everyone here, especially some of you children and youth, to help me out with my message today, if you don't mind. So I just mentioned to you one of the teams that I would like to be on. And you know what? In life, everywhere you go, there's a team. Whether at church, at school, at home, whatever. There's a team. So I want to ask one or two of you youth, put your hands up and I'll just ask either Godfrey or Micah to go around with a mic. And let me know which team in life that you've been a part of and why you like being on that team. What is it about the team that you like? Any volunteers? And two, if we can have some young people online, you're also welcomed to chime in online if you would like. So we have the Zoom mics open. Any team that you're a part of and why you like being part of that team? So my answer is I like being a part of the, well, I don't know if I'm part, but I would like to be a part of the youth team. Any volunteers? And I can tell you a couple of teams. Any team that you like, and why you like being a part of that team.
Track team.
The track team.
This past year I was on the swim team and it was pretty fun because everyone was nice, no one looked down on anyone, and they were just very welcoming people.
Wonderful. 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 So let me go ahead, Carissa Rose.
The volleyball team.
The volleyball team? And why you like being part of the volleyball team?
Because it's just really fun and energetic.
Right. Okay. So there are some of the teams that you have one more?
I don't know.
You don't know? The I don't know team. That's good. That's a team.
I am also a part of the I don't know team.
You're part of the I don't know team.
Yeah. Me three.
Me three. All right, the team. And so, you know, so some of you here and at your young ages, you're already finding yourself a part of a team. And all of us. No matter how young and no matter how old we grow, we all have to participate in a team. And there's all kind of teams. There's the family team. There's the church congregation team. There's the, you know, you mentioned some of your teams at school and at the clubs that you were in. For instance, in the team family, there's someone perhaps who does the cleaning, someone does the cooking, someone provides the money, someone does particular chores. So what I'm getting at, all of you here are part of a team. You're involved in a team when you participate in a school project. You're involved in a team, of course, when you play sports, right? You're involved in a team, big children, when you're at the job. There's teamwork everywhere. Let me give you a definition of what a team is. And some of you, in saying what part of the team, what you like about the team, you brought out some of the qualities of the team, why you like being a part of the team. A team could be the combined effective action of a group to achieve a common goal. And we saw an example of teamwork today with the young children when they did their performances. They were coordinated, in sync. They were a team. Another meaning of a team is a fuel that allows common people to produce uncommon results. team is like a two-way street. It's reaching out to help other colleagues, and on the other hand, it's being open to receive help when it is offered. Teamwork is the unselfish and unconditional sharing of one of the best skills and resources for the benefit of the community. So if you have a skill, and all of you have a skill, you're good at something, when you take that skill, that talent that you're good at, and you share it amongst your friends, you're sharing your skill with a teamwork. Now, there are examples of teamwork in nature. So can anyone, young people again, can anyone think of examples of teamwork in nature? Let me give you one. And if you could, Micah, go ahead.
It's on. Okay. Ants.
Ants. Wonderful. Ants. Marvelous example of a teamwork. Actually, I have that one down. You lifted it right out of my message. Ants. I won't ask you to explain. Have you ever seen an ant trail? How they're just a marvelous example of teamwork. They're always gathering food. And you know, it said ants can lift up to 200 times their body weight. And the thing about the ants, they're always working gathering food. So we can learn from the ants, as the Word of God says. Excellent teamwork. And they always stay in the trail. No one ever drifts apart ants. They go in that trail. Ants. Any other examples of teamwork in nature? We have some volunteers
termites.
Up front too, Micah. Termites? And what's the example of the teamwork of termites?
They all work together to like protect the nest, and like they also help store the eggs for them
Wonderful.
To hatch.
Wonderful. I love how you brought up they all work together to protect the nest. Go ahead.
Bees.
Another one on my message. You're reading my message today. Ooh, teamwork. We got synergy here going. Bees. And what's so good about bees? Teamwork.
They work together to make honey.
Yes, they work together to make money. If I may, what's your name? Sorry. Olivia, allow me to expand on that. Yes, indeed, bees do work together to make honey. On actually a hot day, half of the bees stay outside of the hives and they beat their wings. And then the other half of the bees are inside gathering nectar and pollen. And so the beating of the wings keeps the inside of the nest cool. And so on the alternate day, the bees inside would go outside and the bees outside would go inside. So in nature, beautiful example of teamwork. So we have ants, the termites, the bees, what else? Go ahead.
Wolves and lions.
Wolves and lions. And do you know what's great about their teamwork?
Well, wolves, they work in packs.
Yes, wolves work in packs. Yes, they're together. Wolves and lions. Thank you, Azaria. Go ahead.
Birds.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, another example lifted out my message. I have geese here. Go ahead. And what's good about the teamwork with birds?
The birds, they work together to make a nest.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Birds. Yes, birds. And also they fly in formation as well. Birds, they fly in formation. And if they fly in formation, and there's a reason why they fly in formation. The front geese, when the front geese or birds get tired, they rotate position with the one in the back V formation. And the flapping of the wings of the birds when they fly in formation creates an uplift for the entire birds. So in nature, there is so much example of teamwork. God created the theme of team in his creation. It's just in there. One more. Go ahead, Paula.
Tornado flies.
And what's good about teamwork in tornado flies?
If you bother them, then they'll all work together to bother you.
Ah, sting you, yeah.
Wonderful answer.
So we see all these examples of teamwork. And you cannot get through life without being part of the team. Now, one more.
I'm going to say this one's kind of gross, but maggots, mm-hmm. because they work together to, like, eat one thing. And if you just, like, for example, drop a block of cheese in, right. like, a bin with maggots, they're just going to eat it within, like, 28 hours.
And clean up that garbage. Teamwork. Thank you. Good example. So we saw some examples of teamwork of the team. And, you know, there is a team here at church who does various things. But, you know, there are things that also can hurt the team. And we're going to look at some things that can hurt the team, and then we'll look at some things that can benefit the team. And so here are some things that can hurt the team. And perhaps you can think back when you were once part of the team, And maybe you can recall maybe a situation like this, whether at school or at a club or whatever, being part of a team or a group or a team project, if it brings to mind. There are some things that sometimes can hurt the team. And one thing that can hurt the team, who people who wants to be on the team, but they don't want to play. Now, I don't know if you know anyone like that, but have any of you ever been on a group project and there's perhaps always one lazy person in the group that doesn't really pull their work and do their part of the project, and then you have to end up picking up the slack for that person? So that puts stress on the team. I say that because many people want to be on the team, especially a winning team. Go ahead, Micah.
This happened like 3 years ago.
Yes.
So in the fifth grade, my teacher said we had to do a project.
Right.
About like condensation, states of matter, stuff like that.
Yes.
And this one person, Brianna, oh my gosh, they did absolutely nothing the entire time. When me and two other people had to like work around the clock at nighttime.
So you
trying to pick up the slack as much as we could. Because they were doing absolutely nothing. So, as payback, we did not put their name on the project.
Ah. So, that's a part of being a team to be realized. And and even at this young age, you're realizing sometimes, in being part of the team, there sometimes is someone who doesn't contribute their part of the work to the team so that the benefit of the team could realize its maximum potential. Another thing that can hurt the team is people who never want to practice and they want to do their best on the game day. For example, and I've been guilty of this. I've had a test at school and I tried to cram it in the night before. And after the test and the exam is finished, I said, you know what? If I had studied, I would have aced this test. How many of you are guilty of that? Put your hands up. Come on, young people, big adults, come on. How many tried to cram it in and said, oh, I should have studied. Yeah, I should have. This one. Yeah. But yeah, so people who never practice but expect to do the best on game day. It's a hard lesson learned. The motto is we need to practice, practice, and practice. The main ingredient in building a winning team is practice, practice, practice. And you can apply that to being a winning Christian. Some of the ingredients of being a winning Christian in employing things of practice. What would a winning Christian do regularly? You can call it practice if you like, in being a winning Christian. Any thoughts? I'll say one. Maybe pray, 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 pray. What else? What comes to mind? Young people, what would a winning Christian do? Paula?
Read their Bible.
Read their Bible. Okay, so we have praying, we have reading. Do we have anything else? Yes, we have
singing numbers.
Singing numbers, yes. Singing the Psalms. Singing. Yes, we have meditating. Fasting. We have all these things. Go ahead, Niall.
10 services.
10 services. So yes, all of these things, as we do them diligently, we become better at them. And you know, we're all part of the team. There's something else. Let me share with you a third thing that hurts the team. People who give up before the game is over. I don't know if you can relate to that. People who give up before the game is over. One of the frustrating things of being on the team is being on a team with persons or one person who wants to quit when you're so far behind in the score. Like a board game or a card game. Have you ever been perhaps in a group of kids and they're playing a game and one's losing and they go, oh, that's no fair. I don't want to play anymore because they're behind in the score. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I've done that once or twice. We don't like being part of the losing team. But persons who wants to give up before the game is over can hurt the team. Because a team, when they play together, when they're behind in the score, a team who really works together can win. So what can hurt the team is someone who gives up before the game is over. Someone who gives up before the game is over. And in life, As you, in life, as you work with persons, it's impossible to not be a part of the team. At work, at your workplace, you're a part of a department, you're going to be a part of the team. If you, you know, even as an adolescent, if when you get a job, you're going to be a part of a team. You're probably going to work with people. And sometimes being part of the team, you may have to take some hard hits. You may get knocked out of bounds every once in a while. You might be behind in the score every once in a while, but it's always crucial to believe that you can win. It's always crucial to believe that you can be victorious. And you know what? I'm going to read a scripture passage that points to that, about believing that we can win. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and I'm going to ask someone to turn there for me and read that for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Does anyone have a Bible? Go ahead, Mr. Micah.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
All right. So we should realize that we can always have victory, triumphant victory in Christ. And we have that assurance. So, you know, being a part of the team, and being a part of, especially the team of the body of Christ, we can lean on that assurance that you can have victory, that you can win. Here's another item that might hurt the team. Someone who talks negatively about the team or the coaches, that really can hurt the team. That is detrimental to the team. It can hurt the team spirit. It could cause division in the team. Remember what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? A house divided cannot stand. And we know a house is a team. Imagine if you have a household and there's one person in the household speaking negative about another person in the household. There will be friction in the household. There will be tension in the household when you go home. Right? That really hurts the team. Someone on the team who speaks negatively about the coaches and the classmates. It could lead to team loss. Here is a good practice and advice that we can take to the Bible in reference to that. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And I'm going to share that one with you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And it says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." So you see the type of talk that should comes out of the mouth, out of our mouths. Talk that can build and lift each other up. And if things come out of our mouths that can lift and build each other up, we first need to think of thoughts that can lift and build each other up. So we need to think of positive thoughts for each other, have successful thoughts about each other. May it benefit those who listen. Here's something else that can hurt the team. People who quit and leave when things are not going their way. People who quit and leave when things are not going their way. Someone might not like how the team practice. And because things are not going their way, they might leave. Maybe someone on the team might not agree with the team doctrine or the team philosophy. And so instead of staying and playing it out, they might pack up and leave. Instead of sticking around, they want to leave and go to another team. So people who quit and leave when things are not going away, that's something else that can hurt a team. Can anyone else think of something that can hurt the team? I have a few other things here. I have one more thing. If not, let me share my one more thing that can hurt the team. People who sit on the opposing team's bench. That could be really awful for the team. When I was young, some of my basketball heroes was Kobe Bryant and perhaps for most of you, Michael Jordan. But imagine, how would the fans react if one of the, let's say, the late Kobe Bryant went to sat on the other team's bench? The fans would boo him. Fans would think, what's going on? What a traitor. How would the other team members feel? when you, wearing the same uniform, go and sit on the opposing team's bench. It could be, it's very detrimental to the team. How do you think God would feel when you hang out on the enemy's bench? For young people, perhaps some of you are, go ahead.
Sad.
Sad, yes, sad. Yes, sad. Imagine, I remember when I was young, I had a group of friends, and then I'll get to you in a moment. Sorry. And one day, one of the friends went to hang out with another group. And that made us feel like, what's going on? We didn't feel good. We felt a little bit betrayed, a little bit hurt. I thought we were bona fides. We were, you know, we were friends. Go ahead, Azaria. How would you make that feel?
I think he would feel disappointed.
Yes, disappointed. Very good. Yes, people who go and sit on the enemy, the team's opposing bench. All of those things I mentioned can hurt the team. All of those things can hurt the team. But you know what? Go ahead, Paula. Go ahead, Paula.
It could also make some people mad.
Yes, indeed. When a team member goes and sits on the enemy's opposing, it could really make it. Yes, I can think of an example of two. Make some people mad. Yes, but you know what? There are these things that can hurt the team, and I'm glad you are aware of them. But there are also things that can help the team, and there are good positive traits that a good team that characterizes a good team. One of the things that characterizes a good team is its unity. Unity, and it's such a strong theme in the Bible. Cohesiveness, unity. Let me share a few illustration. Did we have another? A unity, and this is a true illustration. In a horse pulling contest, one horse, a sled was tied to one horse, and the owner of the horse that tied the sled to the one horse, that horse managed to pull 4,500 pounds by himself. He put the sled on another horse, and that other horse was able to pull 4,000 pounds. So the owner wondered if he yoked the two horses together, how much could they pull? Now remember, individually, the first horse was able to pull 4,500 pounds. The second horse was able to pull 4,000 pounds. How much do you think the two horses together were able to pull? Micah, go ahead.
8,500 pounds.
8,500 pounds? Good. A good educated guess. Actually, the two horses yoked together was able to pull 12,000 pounds. When they were working together as a team, they were able to move more weight than they would working individually. One of the advantages of being able to work together as a team, we are able to pull more weight. We are able to make our influence felt more on others when we are able to work together as a team. As a kid, there was one of the movies I like, and this movie, he had a favorite saying. And I'm going to name the movie. I'm going to ask one of you young people to kind of think of the slogan. One of you might be able to think of the slogan on this move, of the movie. Movie's been made about it. It was a TV show. It's called The Three Musketeers, and they had a saying. Who knows what that saying of The Three Musketeers was? Anyone? The Three Musketeers. Go ahead, Niall.
One for all and all for one?
Yes, one for all and all for one. And, okay, so anyone, what do you think that saying means? One for all and all for one. Go ahead, Niall.
I guess there's an example that if there's a bunch of people in a dire situation, one person would sacrifice themselves for many lives to be saved. And then there's all for one, which everyone would work together in order to protect one person.
You are bang on, my friend. I can learn from you. Wonderful. Wonderful. An example of one for all and all for one. Yes. And Jesus Christ is a perfect example for that. He, the one, laid down his life for all of us. It says, for God so loved the world. The world, yes, the Jew and the non-Jew. Non-Jews are also, the door of salvation is open to them. Just as non-Jews were allowed to come into the nation of Israel, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Primarily, yes, it's for Israel, but also by extension, the entire world. One for all and all for one. Yes. So the unity, cohesiveness is a very good quality of a winning team. Now, people who recognize we are stronger together than stronger together than an individual, people who stick together and support each other. Here is a good passage to describe that, and that's taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. It says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." And you can hear the one for all and all for one in that. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others." One for all and all for one. Looking to the interest of others. In baseball, we have the concept that is called the... any baseball fans here? Young people, any baseball fans? Blue Jay fans? You, Micah, you're the baseball fan? Half, half? Okay, so in baseball, we have the concept in this team. We have what's called a sacrifice fly. Do you know what that is, Micah? The sacrifice fly? In baseball, the sacrifice fly, and I know Mr. Courtney is a baseball fan. The sacrifice fly is when a hitter intentionally hits the ball deep into the outfield so that the runner who's on third base or second base could advance to the next base. So he intentionally hits himself out for the interest of the team so he could put that score on the board and he goes out. That is the concept of the sacrifice fly. Performing for the team. And you notice when the baseball batter, if you ever watch baseball, when the baseball batter returns to the bench, the one who hit the sacrifice fly, they're giving him high fives like he just hit a home run and he's out. The sacrifice fly. So there is incentive in sacrificing for the team. There is honor in sacrificing for the team. Much like Jesus sacrificed for the team. There's another good thing that, a characteristic of a good teamwork that characterizes a good team. Attitude. People who think the best, persons who believe the best, persons who speak the best, these tend to be the more successful teams. And you know, attitude can break or make a team. You know the team morale, when the attitude is low and team morale is low, the team probably more than likely won't perform as well. But when the team morale is high, when you face moments of intense pressure, you might get frustrated. It's easier to lose your cool, and that's what the other opponent wants you to do. So it's good to have a high team morale, and that could be done by having a good attitude. And strong teams have good attitude. I want to share with you an actual example of good teamwork. And this is known as the miracle of Dunkirk. Whether it was a miracle or not, is, you know, God knows. But what I want you to take from it is the example of the teamwork. In World War II, the British made a premature attempt to invade Europe at Dunkirk. What would have been one of the greatest defeats turned to be one of the greatest victories and is commonly known as the miracle of Dunkirk. Let me hear. Allied forces of British and French troops were trapped on the coast by German forces with nowhere to go. The English command asked the Navy, if we could hold off the German with strikes by the Air Force, how many men can we evacuate? With the available boats, only 37,000 men could be evacuated. But the men trapped were in the number of hundreds of thousands. So the 37,000 men, the boats available, couldn't evacuate the hundreds of thousands of soldiers who were trapped. News began to spread, and fathers and mums and sons began to hear of the perplexing problem. So the fathers, grandfathers, and uncles headed out in tugboats, fishing boats, merchant marine boats, pleasure crafts, and lifeboats to rescue the soldiers. And you can look this up. It's known as the miracle of Dunkirk. In 9 days, more than 100,000, actually it was over 300,000 soldiers were rescued from Dunkirk, France. Not by the Navy, but by ordinary persons with boats and the surrounding beaches by a hastily assembly fleet of 700 boats. These small crafts ferried troops from the beaches to larger ships waiting offshore. So what the British Navy could not do, a country was able to do together. My point is, the results that can happen when a group of persons band together to achieve a common goal. A common goal. Another good character trait of a winning team, of a positive team, is commitment. Commitment. People who are dedicated. People who gives their best. People who shows up for every single team practice. People who cleans up the locker room. People who go out their way, go the second mile for the team. People who takes the team out for lunch when they win and when they lose too. The team, commitment. People who makes sacrifices for the team, commitment. The best and strongest teams have many individuals on the team who understands the concept of commitment. They live it. Another good trait of a winning team, a strong team, is diversity. Diversity, yes. Diversity. There's a saying in Jamaica, out of one many people. Did I get that right? Out of one? Out of many one. Out of many one people. So in a sense, when you're part of a team, you're one. And you may have different differences within the team, but we're still one. We're still together. Diversity. A good team utilizes diversity to their advantage, because on the team you might have one individual who's strong in one point, and then you might have another individual who's strong in another. And a good example of that diversity and recognizing and appreciating and utilizing those differences for the benefit of the team, a good example for that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4. I'm going to ask someone to read a few verses from that, just so we can have a good takeaway. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to verse 4, and we read maybe, go from verse 4 to verse 10, someone. And if I can ask you to lend your ear, because it hits that, it kind of brings it out wonderfully. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 10. Go ahead, Carissa Rose.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues.
So we see that the Spirit of God imparts these different gifts to different members of the body of Christ for the benefit of the entire Christ. So we have persons of diverse gifts for the benefit of the entire body. So a strong team, a winning team, appreciates the diversity. You know what else is that makes a good team and a strong team? Relationships. A winning team, a strong team, has relationships. They're more than just team members. They are friends. They have each other's back. They have a love for each other, a respect for each other. They support each other and encourage each other. A winning team is a team that is filled with ample examples of relationships between the different teammates on the team. And you know, the best team to be on, the best winning team to be on, starts with TJ. Team Jesus. Yes. Team Jesus. The best team to be on. Team Jesus. Another thing that makes for a winning team, a strong team, is faith. Is faith. A strong team believe, yeah, we can take those guys. We can beat them. You know, they may look all, but we can beat them. They may look stronger than us and faster. We can beat them. They just believe in themselves as a team because they believe what their comrade can do. The best team to be on, Team Jesus, would be aware of that. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And I'll read. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm going to share an example of someone working with Jesus as a team, making a team Jesus. This is an unlikely candidate that normally maybe you wouldn't think of, a Roman centurion. This is taken from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and I'm going to share the story. And you can see the teamwork in here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. And then, young people, I'm going to ask you to tell me what was the example of the teamwork in this little story. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, listen, this is a story. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. Now then, who can point out the example of teamwork in this passage? Anyone? What was the example of teamwork that you think in this passage? What was the example of teamwork? Anyone? And we have anyone? The example of teamwork? We have Jesus and the centurion. Go ahead. We have in the front row. Go ahead. What was that? Let me come and listen what you said. Very good. You're sharp. Okay. She said Jesus and the centurion teamed up together to heal the servant. The centurion went to Jesus and said, you know what? Don't come under my roof. Just say the word and I know it will be done. They had trust with each other. He trusted Jesus and he had faith, a strong team, a winning team has trust and they have faith. Thank you very much. You are listening. Winning team. I want to share a few illustration, but before I share a few illustration, I need two volunteers. I'd like to demonstrate the volunteer, then I'll give you the two volunteers. Two volunteers. It's very easy. Two volunteers. Two volunteers. And I'm closing to the conclusion. Two volunteers. No, to come up front. Two. I need two people. Two. Two volunteers. Two? That's good. You're brave. What's your name?
Ava.
Ava. Thank you very much, Ava. Of course, this is. Go ahead. Start clapping, go ahead. Thank you. Two one-armed individuals. Sit down. Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. Keep that picture in your mind. Now, what was that about? What was that about? Lend me your ear. There is a wonderful story about Jimmy Durant, one of the great entertainers of a generation ago. He was asked to be a part of a show of World War II veterans. He told them his schedule was very busy and he could only afford to stay a few minutes. But Ife wouldn't mind his doing one short monologue and immediately leaving for his next appointment, he would come. Of course, the show's director agreed happily. But when Jimmy got on stage, something interesting happened. He went through the short monologue and then stayed. The applause grew louder and louder, and he kept staying. Pretty soon, he had been on 15 minutes. 15 minutes went by. He was on 20 minutes. 20 minutes went by. He stayed by for 30 minutes. Finally, he took a last bow and left the stage. Backstage, someone stopped him and said, "I thought you had to go after a few minutes. What happened? How come you stay so long?" Jimmy answered, "I did have to go, but I can show you the reason I stayed. You can see for yourself. If you look down in the front row," and our two young demonstrators demonstrated on the front row, "in the front row were two men, each of whom had lost an arm in the war. One had lost his right arm, and the other had lost his left arm. But together they were able to clap. And that inspired me, and that's exactly what I was doing going on because of those two one-armed individuals who was able to work together as a team and appreciate." See, teamwork. Even if you're lacking a quality, if you're lacking an ingredient, when you can work together as a team, the results you can achieve together outweighs what you can do individually. The team. Let me just share with you a story. This is called, "That's Not My Job." That's not my job. This is a story about four people. You listening? The four people's name was Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Yes. Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Listen, let me tell you the story. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody knew that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that somebody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody because when nobody did what anybody could have done. I know it was a tongue twister, but yeah. Just substitute the names of everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody for actual names. So, the team. The team benefits when there is always someone, there's members of the team, who wants to pick up and perform and serve the team. One more good quality that defines a winning team, a good and strong winning team. And that is leadership. Every team has leadership. There's always someone on the team who decides who will do what. There's someone who will decide who will do the scripture reading. You know, on the team, there's someone who would be the hand and someone would be the mouth. On Team Jesus, we know Team Jesus is the captain. Captain Jesus. He's the leader. Let me share with you a passage from John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. It's the last scripture passage. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. And with Jesus on the team, we can get a lot done. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Team Jesus. Captain Jesus here. John chapter 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine," Captain Jesus is speaking, "and my Father is the gardener." The Father is the coach. "He cuts off every branch," the branch is the teammates, "in me that bears no fruit," no performance, "while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." So when a coach sees a player trying harder, he encourages him. He gives him more playing time. He prunes him. "You are already clean because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine," Team Jesus. "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me," Captain Jesus. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Can't achieve without Captain Jesus. "If anyone does not remain in me, He is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Team Jesus, the winning team, is the sweetest team to be on. Team Jesus. I'm going to share a few two acronyms. So, but before I do, as I close, here are some of the components that make a good and strong winning team. And team exists all over, in the family, at the workplace, at the church. Team, the body of Christ is a team. Unity. Attitude. Commitment. Diversity. Relationship. Faith. And of course, leadership. All of those qualities makes for a good and strong, willing team. Young people, jot down this acronym, the word team. T, together. E, everyone. A, achieves more. And then teamwork. Teamwork. Jot down that acronym, teamwork, as I close. Together. E, enjoying. M, ministry. W, worshiping. O, our. R, righteous king. Teamwork. Together, enjoying a ministry, worshiping our righteous king. And we can do so together. Let's all work together to be one on Team Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Noel, for that well-tailored message on teamwork. Now, can I have my team, the hymn team, to help me with these closing hymns? For our two closing hymns, we will be singing number 251, Wonderful Words of Life, and 96, I Need Thee Every Hour. 96. I need thee every hour. Page 96. Closing prayer. We will now have our closing prayer by Courtney Scarlett.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is for us to be gathered here on this your holy Sabbath day. Lord, we thank you for the service today. We thank you for the young people as they came up on stage and they led today's service. What a privilege it is to see the young up here and show their talents. They're so gifted. Lord, we know that these young people, they're indeed the future of the church. So we need to encourage them and uplift them as much as we can and include them as much as we can so that they continue to use their talents to serve. We thank you for the message today, dear Lord, on teamwork. For indeed, teamwork makes the dream work, and if we are all working together, we'll all accomplish the common goal. We know that we're all one, as we're all many members, but as many members, we make up the body of Christ. So Lord, we ask you to encourage us to help to work together, individually, collectively, Lord, for your common good, that we may accomplish your goal and we may fulfill your will, dear Lord. Lord, we want to ask a special prayer on all the children and young adults who will be heading back to school this week. You know, it's been a short summer. Summer went by so quickly. But Lord, we ask you as they step into the classroom this week that you be with them throughout the entire school year. May you bless them as they go in every day and as they return home every day. Let them have a healthy and enjoyable school year. Let them allow others to see you in them, and that let them be examples and not followers, Lord. We ask you to let their light shine so that, like I said, everyone can see you in them. Bless each and every one of them. Bless the parents, Lord, as the parents have new challenges that they're going to be faced with throughout the school year. We ask you to also bless the teachers amongst us and into the world as we head back to the school year, Lord. We ask you just to continue to lift us up, help us to navigate through the school year, navigate through all the other obstacles and challenges we're faced with throughout our daily lives, and help us continue to grow and always just focus on you and make you first. Lord, the Holy Day season is fastly approaching. We ask you to continue to help us to just self-reflect and examine ourselves, dear Lord, as we approach these holy days. Help us to develop a closer relationship with you, and that we use this holy day season as an opportunity to continue to grow in you, Lord, and continue to grow with each other in teamwork and in unity. Bless us right now, Lord. We bless the remaining day. Bless us as we depart from here. We ask you to bring us all home safely. Continue to bless us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brothers and sisters, as we close our Sabbath afternoon, I want to thank everyone that has participated today, whether it be Jordy's message on grace or Noel's message on teamwork, and the kids for showing their light and showing their talent for us today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and gracious to you. May he lift up the lights of countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I will now turn over the rest of the proceedings to one of our deacons to share any announcements. Following that, I will invite Jordy and Brother Noel to host a brief period of discussion and comment based on the message. Thank you. Into duty. Okay. Congratulations to Dwight and Stephanie Chin on their what? 23rd wedding anniversary? To be celebrated tomorrow, September 4th. Wish them all the best and many more happy years together. Wow. Love you guys. Way to go. The next Bible study will be Tuesday, September 13th at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. The study of the book on Revelation continues. Monday, September 26th is the Feast of Trumpets. The service will be at the Puss Lynch Community Center, 23 Brock Road South, starting at 1:30 p.m. An offering will be taken up, and there will be a potluck after the service. Everyone is asked to bring prepared food. Meat should be cut up or sliced before taken, and bring your own serving utensils. Wednesday, October 5th is the Day of Atonement. The 24-hour fast begins at sunset on October 4th and until sunset on October 5th. The service will be held here at Trinity at 1:30 p.m., and an offering will be taken up as well. The Feast of Tabernacles begins the Sunday evening of October 9th and continues until sunset Monday, October 17th, and it will be held at the Georgian Bay Hotel in Collingwood. That's it for the announcements. Now, Deacon Noel Scolbert back up. Or Jordy.
Good afternoon. And if I just may add one more announcement, we do
have our movie night that's going to start at 5 o'clock. The movie is called Discarded Things. It is an excellent movie. Thank you for Sister Denisha for vetting the movies and watching them. There will be a link that's provided in the chat, and I encourage as many of you as online to watch the movie. You can watch it. We're going to start watching a movie at 5 o'clock. You can watch it whenever, you know, it's convenient for you. And after the movie, we'll be having a few snacks and a discussion. And if you do watch the movie, you're more than welcome to join in online via Zoom on the discussion, because there's a lots of takeaways in that movie. And now I guess both Jordy and myself are open for any comments or any questions regarding the messages.
Happy Sabbath to everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Now we are alive.
All right.
Well, Cody.
Jordy,
I want to thank you for the presentation and grace. I won't go too far with that. Just congratulate you. Keep up the good work. I know you from you was a little fellow running around in here. And now you're doing a good job. For Noel, thanks very much. Presentation and teamwork. Mm-hmm. Without good and proper teamwork, we all gone to nothing.
Yes.
But I want to focus a little bit on the young people that mm-hmm. I saw today. Mm-hmm. They are the reason why I'm here today too.
Yes.
I'm telling you that.
Right.
I want to congratulate them all.
Yes.
They have done a wonderful job.
Marvelous.
I also want to tell them they are the future of this place.
Yes.
Toronto CGI.
Mm-hmm.
You are the future. These young people, open your ears very carefully what I'm saying. You are the future. I can see the baton is slowly moving.
Yes.
Right into your hands. And keep it up. And to the parents, I want to tell you that it's not an easy job what you're doing, but you're doing a fantastic job. Remember, the road is narrow and rough. And there's a wide one, but you travel on the narrow one because the end of it, that's what counts. So I want to thank you all. And last but not least, by the will of God, I think I will see you guys next year, 2023, because today will be the last day for me in service in Toronto.
Safe
thank
travels.
You. And you guys have a good,
safe
have a good peace of tabernacle. All of you. Thank you.
Swaby, and thank you, young people.
Okay. Shabbat shalom, my brothers and sisters. I just want to say thank you to Matthew for being our worship moderator today. He did a fabulous job, and we have to give thanks to God for all the young people, too, and for him, for all that you all do. Thank you for the sermon message that both Jordy did about grace. And we know by God's grace, we're here. And because of his grace, he saw us through the week. And here we are to be a part of both messages. I enjoy your message about team and the definition of teamwork. This message actually... it's for the young children growing up in this church. that sometimes not everything will be to their liking, but they have to know that still they have to let God's light shine through them and to persevere. And to, as you give example of the ants, the bee, my young man Niall, wonderfully done. Mm-hmm. Give example about the maggots and all of these wonderful things that God has created. Yes. And he uses these to teach us lessons that sometimes we have not grasped. Yes. And with your sermon message, it actually, sermon message brought that out in examples for us to look at the things that God has created for us to emulate those examples. So young people, I hope you are listening keenly so you can be that light, as my brother just prayed for you all, to be light when you go into the school, because you know what the school system is about now. They're teaching you young people to be swayed in going different directions. So may God continue to bless you young people, young men up there, Jordy and Noel, to talk about message of God and how to inspire and encourage the young people, because we need to engage them before we lose them to the world that is dark. Continue to be that light for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Well done.
Go ahead. You can read the message in the chat.
We just got a comment in the chat. It's by Sister Maria. Well done to the young persons who have participated in this very special service. Also, well done, Jordy, for your sermonette on grace, and Noel for your interactive sermon on teamwork. God bless you all. I really enjoyed the service.
Go ahead. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, it's Noria and Hilla. Naya, Baria, Tara, Micah, Nile, Biscuit on 1 Corinthians 13 was precious. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Matthew, first of all, I want to say we love you so much and we're looking forward to seeing you all. Matthew, if I saw you on the road, I probably wouldn't recognize you because you've grown up to be such a beautiful young man, my goodness. And thank you for the worship service, leading the worship service, and for being humble enough to be open to say that you're willing to hear correction. With that type of attitude, Matthew, you will do very well in life and you'll go very far. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Brother Jordy and Brother Noel, thank you both for your leadership. Brother Noel, I know that you basically probably led the team on this with this youth day. Brother Godfrey in the background, and Brother Smith in the background, Brother Shay for his technical skills, as well as Brother Godfrey. Thank you so much. I'm not young, but done with the young people yet.
And if I might interject, I really want to put a hand of applause for Sister Corrine and Sister Lloyd, because they did a lot of work with the young people.
I was going to name them.
Oh, okay.
And I'm naming people because I think it's just good to call the names out today. I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget anyone. For the praise and worship, I want to thank Sister Lloyd, Sister Corrine, Sister Sister Malene, and then our brothers Courtney and Brother Stowe. Thank you so very much. And thank you, Brother Stowe, for your leadership on leading the music team as well. I know there's an announcement that we haven't made yet. And I know this is long, but I still think I'm going to be calling out the names. So Carissa Rose, Rachel Ann, Emberly, Tora, Nyla, and Azaria again for their special music. That was fantastic. And again, you guys have grown so much. And so I think I've named everyone. Sister Yu has helped with the singing. Thank you all. And brethren, it's God willing, we'll get to see you in a few weeks. God willing. to seeing you all, and thank you so much for a very inspiring youth day, and thank you for the visitors who participated. Yes. Welcome, and hope you have a fantastic rest of the Sabbath.
Wonderful.
You as well.
And with that, that is an appropriate note to end the Q&A commentary session on. And that's, Brother Stowe, you had a comment. Go ahead.
It? That's it? No one else? Brother Godfrey, you didn't say nothing.
All right. I think you're right. Well, you know, for me, I just want to say thanks to both of you guys for doing a wonderful job. Teamwork really struck me. Mm-hmm. I know the grace is something that we all know and should know, but teamwork is lacking in a lot of areas in our lives. And if we really apply these principles, then we would be more productive and we'll get very far. So I hope we were all listening, whether we were here or online, visiting or not. This principle of teamwork, it actually can do great and wonderful things in our lives. So thank you guys again for all the hard work that you guys put in. And for everyone who participated in this service, you know, thank you. And Brother Matthew, I know he's not here. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm impressed. Thank you. Keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God be praised. Thank you. Remember, our movie will start at 5 p.m. You're all welcome to join. We'll be having snacks after, and after the movie, followed by a discussion period.
Yes, I am. He has ransomed me. Savior. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am.
Okay, so I want to work on that next week. Or okay, so let's do your name and then that's it. That's yeah. We'll have to pull out everything.
That one, the other one.
Hmm?
Which other one?
Your name. Oh, there you go. Thank you. This is the ton of people. Your name. Candy. The mic. Your name is your name.
your name.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, at your name. Come here, sir. Thank you, Cody. Your name. Your name is Cody. As morning dawns, an evening fades. Sister Wayne, are you not practicing for next week, God's willing? That's okay.
These other things are going to have to be put on the burner.
Exactly. You hear that? You got to put that on the burner first and come into praise and worship.
Your name.
Yeah. Team.
One is
thank you, brother Victor, for all that you do. Thank you.
You're in the morning dawn.
That's it. At the beginning, we were shaky. For all that you do today, and Brother Wilson.
They have their thing at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Are we it's not 5 o'clock. That's the time.
Oh, my, like your eyebrows. They're nice.
Cute. Hot. What do you mean, like your eyebrows?
Yes.
You guys modify your eyebrows. I'm talking about your like eyebrows. Stop modifying the stuff. Oh, you need me?
Above all, blessing and honor. Glory and power be unto the ancient of days. From every nation, all of creation.
Are we going to put down stuff today? Are we putting down stuff today?
Now before the ancient of
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to boast about them. Ja'akum ahl al-Yaman. The people of Yemen has come.
Still showing up at
Yeah.